soon after has a revelation, reinvents his life. BruceAllen.com and a dad's point of view. That's right, Bruce Allen.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, and we have special in-studio guest Bryce Zabel with us. He is an author and screenwriter, but we've been talking about his brand new book, Surrounded by Enemies, What If Kennedy Survived Dallas? Let's get some business out of the way, Bryce. Where can we find and buy this book, and when is it going to be available in hard copy?
Well, it's having a reverse rollout, if you will. It's available in ebook right now. So you can go to Amazon.com, iBookstore, Nook, whatever, and you can find it for your e-device. On September 1st, it'll be out as an audiobook, and then on October 1st, it will be out as a print book. So it's the other way around, but because of the Kennedy assassination anniversary, we wanted to get it out so people could read it as soon as possible. And you can look up those details at surroundedbyenemies.com, which is sort of our clearinghouse for all that information.
Surroundedbyenemies.com. Okay, yeah. So let's go back to the we were in the middle of Kennedy's life was unraveling a little bit when J. Edgar Hoover, in your book, has revealed some of the secrets of his womanizing and other stuff that may have gone on. And you have one of your images of an imagined book cover shows a very pensive President Kennedy from a real picture with the title The Secret Life of the President. So why don't you carry on from there?
Well, again, I'm just extending from things that we know how they have happened before. So in water, you know, the analog to that would be the Watergate reporting. Here's a couple of reporters in Washington, D.C. who get some files leaked to them. But you have to remember, and people will point this out, it was a different time back in the 60s. People's private lives, certainly the private lives of political figures, were largely ignored, even though many people in Washington who were reporters knew that the president did have kind of a secret double life. They said, well, it doesn't affect his performance, so we don't talk about it.
And the irony, of course, is when I first heard about that double life, I just poo-pooed it.
Sure.
I didn't want it. And when I've gotten older and thought about it, I realized, wait a minute, that is a really risky behavior because of the risk of blackmail.
Sure.
And what it could be done by foreign powers when you are, in essence, on the trigger of the most powerful weaponry in the world. So it's serious stuff.
It's serious stuff. And again, it's also it's not like President Kennedy simply was conducting an affair at the time. He was going beyond that. He had many, many, many different women, not just during his life, but also while he was in the White House. Jackie did not spend a lot of time in the White House, and JFK played when she was away. So he had a lot of women coming in. And I think your point is well taken, and we should really underline this. Nobody gets in trouble necessarily just because they have issues in their marriage. We do try to forgive and forget, or at least try to look the other way, or at least be understanding of that. But here's
if not,
a man,
I wouldn't be married still.
But here's a man who was letting women be solicited, who came into the White House, and the Secret Service was not allowed to, say, check their bags to see if they might have recording devices or drugs or poison or whatever. And some
of course, we know some of those women had ties to the mob.
At least one of them, Judith Campbell, Exner, as she was later married, was Sam Giancana's girlfriend and JFK's at the same time, which is a little crazy. And then also there were some women who were suspected of being communist spies.
I
But I have to also underline this. I, like everyone else, I think, started as a big fan of JFK's, and I still am in terms of his style and his politics. And I find that he was a pretty solid president, in my view. But I'm a dramatist, too. And you simply cannot ignore that when America thought that he had the storybook marriage of all time, that if this information had come out not after the fact, but during his administration, that would have caused it to unravel. And I will say this also. Even during JFK's administration, most reporters in Washington, D.C. felt, and most politicians, and certainly the JFK inner circle, all were concerned that JFK was one headline away from disaster. So in my book, that headline happens.
And it makes sense that it would happen over that amount of time. You know, it's interesting. I don't like the way the press overdoes it, even when it's hurting a political figure that I don't like. I just think it's, at times it goes too far. But we can look further back to when FDR was president and how the press had a standard or a rule of not photographing him in his wheelchair.
Well, that's interesting that you bring that up, Bruce, because we really should look at that. Because my book doesn't just focus on the women and the sex. The other secret life that John Kennedy had was his medical issues and his medical problems.
And his dependence on some meds.
Exactly. And while Roosevelt may have misled people about whether he could walk and whether he used a wheelchair, that did not necessarily interfere with his use of the office. But John Kennedy was actually getting injections from the doctor who became known as Dr. Feelgood. And so you could argue that
probably the same doctor,
Dr. Max Jacobson, took care of Elvis. The same guy.
Was it literally?
No, it's the same guy. And JFK and Jackie were getting injections while in the White House. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, well, is it okay for a person who's, for example, in charge of the nuclear arsenal of the United States during the Cuban Missile Crisis to be on amphetamines, if that was the case? And even if it was okay, was it okay not to disclose that to the American people? So I think that there were some vulnerabilities, if you will, that John Kennedy had. And looking at them in a more, I guess, even-handed way that we are able to look at now and say, if these things came out, how would people have responded is fascinating. Like, I can only – as a standard, I ask, well, what would my parents have thought if they'd heard these things? And they were both very strong Kennedy supporters, voted for him, of course. And I think that they would have been just shocked beyond belief.
I don't think they would have stood by their man, as many people are standing by Obama right now, no matter what he does. I don't think that generation would have put up with some of those revelations that you've talked, which is why you carry it further. And I'll just end our discussion on the book with this. I have two more covers here, Newsweek sort of covers. One is The Impeachment and Trial of John F. Kennedy. You'll have to read the book to find out what happened. And the other one is called Moon Men, and it shows Kennedy, Nixon, and a very young Armstrong. What's his first name?
Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong. Thank you. When I first looked at this, it looked like Putin.
Yeah.
I thought, wait a minute, you got something mixed up here. So the book, obviously, I don't want to reveal everything. There's a lot that goes on in this book. So once again, where can we find this book?
Right now, just go to surroundedbyenemies.com. And depending on what kind of e-reader you have, go there, iBookstore, Amazon, Nook. And then look for the audiobook September 1st and look for the hard copy October 1st.
All right. Or you go to the radio show page where you can download this show and share it with your friends. And there's an image of the book cover on the radio show page for today's radio show. You just click on it. It'll take you right to Amazon. So, Bryce, just shifting gears, I made a joke about Miley Cyrus. I sort of feel that contemporary popular culture just stinks. And Miley Cyrus is just yet another symptom of it. As a parent, you have three children, all grown, all thankfully doing well now, which I was happy to hear on the drive up here. What do you feel about this? If you had young kids, what would you be saying to them about what's out there and the things that they get assaulted by in so many different forms now?
This is a very complex question. And
okay,
I'm
so
sure
yes or no is the answer.
Yes or no. What would they think? Well, listen, I think we live in different times. Our children obviously are subjected to different things than we were. I don't make a blanket statement against all pop culture or anything any more than anyone else does. I think what Miley Cyrus did reflects more on her and her choices and taste than it does on whether it's going to absolutely undermine our children.
I think it's going to undermine her career.
It may save it. I don't think she had a huge career going for her until she got on. I mean, she had been in a bit of a depressive zone. So it may help. We live in a weird time where that can happen.
So any other thoughts, though, just on contemporary popular culture before we wrap up?
Well, listen, I think it's a mixed bag. You mentioned that I was the chairman of the TV Academy. Those are the people that give out the Emmys. And after
you were the chairman just before 9/11 happened.
Right.
Had to be interesting times.
I canceled the Emmys twice. The first time because 9/11 happened and the Emmys were scheduled for 5 days later and it was inappropriate to have them. So we rescheduled them for October 7th and we invaded Afghanistan that day and canceled them twice. So the Emmys had gone 49 years without ever being canceled. until I took over, and then I canceled them twice. So that's my
That's your legacy.
What a legacy. But we had to do it because, to get back to your other point, it's important to show that Hollywood isn't completely lost, that we do get it sometimes. We are able occasionally, and we do have members who are appropriate and understand cultural values, et cetera. But there's a wide spectrum of stuff, and as you well know. And when people say television is good or bad, I say, you know what, it's both. If you look at the spectrum of pop culture, all right, we have stuff that is more outrageous than ever before in history, but we also have stuff that's better than ever before in history.
Let's end our segment on that because we're in full agreement. We don't always agree on politics, but we do agree on this.
I'll come back for that.
Thank you, Bryce. Stay tuned for some closing remarks. And remember, go to surroundedbyenemies.com to get the book.
In the whale, nowhere in the ark. What did they do when everything looked so dark? You've got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. On to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In Between.